What is up, all of my beautiful freaking people? Welcome back to another episode of FML Talk. Today's episode has been highly fucking requested since I started this goddamn show. I swear to God, every other day I'm getting messages about, what if he's my twin flame? What if he's my soulmate? What does that even fucking mean is the actual question. And we're going to get into it with an expert on all of that today. So sit back, grab your spiritual fucking woo-woo journals. Welcome to FML Talk.
Oh my God.
Wait, how old was the other girl?
19. Can you believe that shit?
Hey, this is Gabrielle Stone.
Good book.
He did what?
48 hours?
What a dick.
Yeah, but have you seen all the photos on our Instagram? And this is FML Talk.
Oh no, she didn't.
Okay, you guys, I'm seriously not kidding when I say I get messages all the time. Not only from people that have read Eat, Pray, FML, and they're like, oh my God, do you think Javier was your twin flame? And maybe that's your soulmate and all this bullshit. And I feel like those terms get thrown around so freely, and we really don't necessarily know the true meaning of like what the difference is. What's the difference between a karmic partner and a soulmate, or a karmic partner and a twin flame? And did we meet our twin flame? And like, what the fuck does that even look like? So I wanted to find someone who I really trusted to kind of dive into this with us, because this isn't really like, you can't go to a textbook and read this shit. You know what I mean? It's not like validated and verified by like the scientists of the world. I knew I needed to find someone who I could digest a lot of their content and put my faith in what they were saying and believe that they were coming forward from like a true and authentic place and knew what the fuck they were talking about. Because there's so much misinformation around this subject out there. So, we have a treat today. Her name is Meg McDermott. She is a twin flame and soulmate expert. And we're really going to debunk a lot of the bullshit myths that you see, because I know half of you that are going through heartbreak are scrolling on TikTok and your For You page is just showing you, what if your twin flame's on its way back and he might be your soulmate? Just hang in there, girl. No, fuck that. Let's get some actual fucking answers, please. And thank you. We did have a little bit of an audio issue on this episode, so we had to pull both of our audios from the actual Zoom recording. So I do apologize in advance. You will be able to hear everything, but it's not as crisp and clean as you're used to on FML Talk. So bear with us just for today. Here we go. Let's get into it. Meg McDermott, welcome to FML Talk. I am so fucking excited to have you here, girl. Thank you for blessing us with your presence today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me in this space. I really, truly am grateful to you to have the space to explore some of this medicine that I carry, because this is a big conversation and I have some answers, and I'm excited to really share that with you and with the people of the FML.
I cannot wait. So you are a twin flame expert, and I feel like this fucking phrase gets thrown around so much. It's like all over social media. I get DMs about it being like, after people read my book, like, Javier was your twin flame. And it's like, let's talk about what the fuck that really even is and kind of debunk some of the bullshit that's out there around it, so people really know about what a twin flame is and what kind of like that experience might look like.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. This is my whole mission on being on the internet, because I do this work, obviously, one-on-one with clients and in group containers. But the big mission is like, let's like put out some of the raging dumpster fires that you can find on the internet when you search this term.
Yes.
And free people who are on this journey from that misinformation, and free people who are not on this journey from that misinformation.
Yes. So
that we're not attached to things that hurt us.
Yes, totally. Because if it's not the journey that you're associating with, it can be so incredibly confusing and toxic. Yeah. So let's start with, what are twin flames and how are they different from soulmates?
Beautiful. Love this question. So twin flames are one soul in two different bodies. So essentially what's happened is this one soul has been in one body for a number of human lifetimes on planet Earth. And over the course of those lifetimes, this soul has mastered all of the human soul lessons to a point where now they can expand beyond one body. But when that happens, when that split happens, we embody polarity. And the reason why so many twin flames are waking up and being activated within the past 5 years or so is because within the human collective, we have been embodying greater polarity than we have in a really long time. So in a twin flame space, you find your twin flame or they find you, life puts you together. It's not something you can really seek out. And you trigger the living shit out of every piece of density that you've been carrying from this lifetime and past lives. And you heal. You heal yourself in reflection of this person. And because you share the same energetic field, as you heal, they heal. And as you come closer and closer together physically through that healing process, you and everyone who encounters you is positively affected on their healing journey just by your energy, by your presence. Mm. At this point, for me, I don't even really have to say anything. I'll show up, I'll walk into a room and one person will be like, oh my gosh, thank you for that thing that's on your shirt, that phrase. That's like, my grandma said that to me. And another person will be like, fuck you, Meg, I'm leaving, because they're so triggered just by me walking in. But essentially, yeah, that's what twin flames are. That sounds like a very open concept. So I'm excited to get more into the nitty gritty, but that's what a twin flame is. One soul, two bodies. That's the easiest, most concise way to break it down. A soulmate is, did you ask me? What's the
Yeah.
I was like, did I imagine that? but a soulmate is a separate soul in a separate body who is so beautifully aligned to your journey in some way, shape, or form. And they can also trigger you and they can also help you heal and help you grow. And you can, they can also see you on this level that you're not used to or that is confronting or that's comforting. And I like to think of it as like a soulmate's like a puzzle piece. And a soulmate can be romantic, can be platonic, mm-hmm. can be familial, obviously. A soulmate's like a puzzle piece. A twin flame is a field. It's a bubble you're in with another body where like you're in a bubble and there's two bodies in there. And with a soulmate, it would be like one person in a bubble and another person in a bubble. And those bubbles fit next to each other really well.
Right, right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That makes a lot of sense to me. Can you explain when we're talking about twin flames, we hear the words divine feminine and the divine masculine. Can you explain what that is?
Oh, yes. I love this question. Okay. This is my favorite thing to do is talk about this. So I'm just like in my element right now. So divine feminine and divine masculine are energies. Every single human person on the planet, regardless of gender or lack of gender, has both of these energies. It's how we're able to be in the world, on the planet, be humans, be in society, and also be these spiritually divinely connected humans. So the divine feminine is receptive. The divine feminine is the channel, the connection to the divine, the insight, the spark. The devotion and the divine feminine receives. So if you think about your intuition is the divine feminine. You're receiving that from whatever your higher power is. The divine masculine builds, protects, creates, is very physical. So you can think of it within the one person as the divine feminine is that connection, that open channel to source, spirit, God, love, universe, magic, whatever you want to call it, God. And the body is the divine masculine. I like to think of it as one of my favorite examples is if you have a business idea, you wake up one morning at 3 a.m. and you're like, I gotta write this down. I can see the whole thing. I can see the 15-year vision and the legacy and the idea and that spark. That's the divine feminine. When you sit down and write a business plan and you go take out a lease on a brick and mortar shop or whatever, and you start doing it, that's the divine masculine. The divine masculine is the container for that essence, that soul essence, divine feminine to flow into the world. So between the twins, the divine feminine, a lot of times in a feminine body, although I've worked with and encountered people in all bodies that are in both polarities or either polarity rather, you kind of have both of those energies, but you play that role more predominantly. So a lot of divine feminines are sages, are mystics, are healers, are Reiki practitioners, are singers and artists. Anyone who is sharing their truth is a divine or is accessing divine feminine energy. Divine masculines are typically in male bodies, but they aren't always. And they are leaders. really. And that's the really big thing about the twin flame journey, is that we all are leaders, everyone on this journey. And not even in a sense where, yes, I work with CEOs, I work with CFOs, I work with artists, I work with authors, I work with people who are in the top of their field all the time, pretty much at this point, healers, all kinds of people who work with a lot of people and lead a lot of people. That's an element of it. But when I say leadership, I also mean that energetic leadership, where when you walk in the room and you start contributing, people end up deferring back to you most of the time. Or you end up, even if people rejected you in that space, you said the thing everyone's thinking about later on, or that changed the conversation. And so the divine masculine does a lot of that. But when we first are introduced to the journey, we are the wounded feminine and the wounded masculine. So we don't really look like what I've just described.
Right.
Because we embody those, the wounded feminine, the wounded masculine, which also inform each other. So that's where some of the stickiness comes into play when it comes to people who are maybe connecting to damaging or toxic relationships or spaces even, and thinking it might be a twin flame, is because it can aesthetically look the same at the beginning, but the experience of it is very different. And
right.
Yeah.
I wish I could say I am a superwoman and on top of all that I do, cook every night, but that is simply not the case. Our time is so freaking limited now with the baby and my bonus daughter, and Factor Meals has been an absolute lifesaver for Tay and I. You get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can focus on the more important stuff you've got going on in your life. No prep, no mess, no cleanup, without sacrificing the flavor and the variety of eating at a restaurant. You can customize your meals weekly and get as much or as little as you need, as well as pause or reschedule deliveries to suit whatever your lifestyle is. Seriously, you guys, Factor meals are delicious. I talk about them all the time, and they have truly taken so much stress out of our lives. Head to factormeals.com/FMLTalk50 and use code FMLTalk50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code FMLTalk50 at factormeals.com/FMLTalk to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. If you ask Tay if he could only eat one thing for the rest of his life, the answer would be cereal. Full disclosure, I was first influenced by Miss Morgan Willett to try Magic Spoon cereal. So when I found out I was going to get to offer you guys a deal on it, I was so excited because it is so freaking good. Magic Spoon has zero sugar, so we can not only have it for breakfast, but late night snacks. And it's perfect for the kiddos to get them a healthy meal without the sugar crash. I love their variety pack. 4 flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs per serving. Made with wholesome ingredients and no artificial flavors or dyes. Big yay. It is high in protein, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. Tay and my bonus daughter are cereal connoisseurs, and they are in love with Magic Spoon and cannot believe it's packed with as much goodness as it is. Go to grab a variety pack and try it today. I promise you guys will not be disappointed. And be sure to use our promo code at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Try a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/FMLTalk and use the code FMLTalk to save $5. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
When Javier and I came into each other's life, we were both pretty fucked up and broken.
Yeah.
And then we came together. It was super intense, super passionate, like insane for a month and a half, and then it exploded like in a horrific way. And I went off on this life-changing journey that really changed my entire career and changed my entire life. And he went off to go on a big healing journey of his own. So when people read the book, they'll always message me and be like, do you think that that was your twin flame? And I guess we can get your opinion on it. My personal opinion on it is that that was a karmic partner for me. who taught me a lot of lessons and came in for a very specific reason. And I think that's why there's so much toxicity around the twin flame ideal, because if I was holding on to that, being like, but we're just in separation now and we're going to come back together once we change and heal, that can be super dangerous when you're trying to like let go of a heartbreak. So what's your thoughts on like my specific situation with that person?
Okay. So first and foremost, I always have to say this whenever anyone asks me, no one can tell you, no one can tell either of you. You will know and no one can confirm or deny. There it is. There's my disclaimer.
Yeah.
So he definitely seems to me like a, what I would call, I call them soulmates. A lot of other people call them karmics, just because I see like, if that's someone that came into your life and helped you grow and helped you step into what you're meant to be doing, like that's a soulmate.
Totally.
And you agreed to come here. So I find that the karmic label in the digital space, especially, just perpetuates separation and perpetuates labeling people as like other in this way that is, can be damaging and can perpetuate those attachments. But it is easier just to like say, for clarity's sake, like a karmic soulmate.
Right.
Here is the key. And you said this in different words, but I want to label and speak into this space. The thing about a twin flame is that no matter how much you release them or move on from them or change your life or move around the globe, they will continue to show up in your reality out of circumstances that are out of both of your control.
Mm-hmm.
So you can move halfway around the world and you could be both be blocked on everything. And you could have both blocked everyone that you mutually knew from forever. You could be truly have cut this person as much out of your life as you possibly could. And they will show up at the table next to you in Madrid on a random Wednesday. Like it, you cannot escape it. And I know that sounds kind of scary, but it's once you reach a certain point on the journey, for those who are on the journey, especially divine feminines who really struggle with having that insight and then having the physical reality not be caught up to that truth yet, to have a core truth but not see the full roadmap because we're not meant to. There's a lot of peace that comes with just being like, oh, I actually don't have to worry about whether this is my twin flame or not. I don't need to worry about it. Because if they are, the nature of what that is means that they will inevitably continue to be put on my path in a way that serves me. That's the other thing about twin flame relationships. They are triggering, not toxic. When a twin flame triggers you, it always, you always heal. You always heal. You will not devolve into your wounds in a twin flame relationship. You might have a week where you're really going through a lot of deep shadow work and you're confronted with a lot, but you are always put in spaces and in other relationships dynamics and around people and in community that are strategically placed there by the divine for that moment right after the trigger so that you will make it through that stronger and more yourself and with more of yourself that had been lost to that trauma reclaimed. Toxic relationships will trigger you into really harmful places for a sustained or prolonged period of time most of the time. A twin flame relationship will never do that. But as that's a side note tangent, but as far as your situation, I would agree that that's a soulmate who came in with a karmic contract and you all, before you incarnated, you agreed to, yes, we will meet, we will do this together. It will serve you in this way. It will serve me in this way. And when we're able to really take that bird's eye view with anyone in our lives, regardless of what we feel their connection or our connection to them is, when we're able to take that bird's eye view and really have gratitude for everything that has come out of our life so far and recognize, like in the mushroom of it all, like this has all been so deeply connected to itself. And this, I wouldn't be here with all of this beautiful energy in these beautiful circumstances had that person who I fucking hated at points in time hadn't done exactly what they did to make me fucking hate them.
Right.
I wouldn't be right here. And so I think regardless, that's such a beautiful relationship and a beautiful example of unconditional love and of the ways that unconditional love challenges us through conditions. And how you were able to embrace that and use that in the way that best served you and the people that are encountering you. I think that's so beautiful, regardless of whatever the label for it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. How can you tell if someone is your twin flame and what are the signs or characteristics to look out for?
Okay. So in addition to a bunch of this, that's the really big one that I already said is like, the motherfuckers just keep popping up. Like right. you can't get rid of them. They just always are there. You'll have a lot of shared interests. And as you get to know each other, you'll recognize that even long before you knew each other, you were operating on an energetic axis. So you'll recognize that you were experiencing counterpart energies at the same time long before when you were children. So for example, maybe early in your early 20s, there was a divine feminine who was doing what she loved, like doing serving, being divine feminine, being the love, but working at a space that really exploited their labor and didn't pay them well and wanted them to work all these hours. And they were really just like martyring themselves, but they were on mission, let's say. They were like doing what they felt was serving the world using their gifts. Their divine masculine at the same exact time, even if they hadn't met each other yet, was probably overpaid for a job that was too easy and over celebrated for a job that was like, whatever. And that's kind of an example of how the energetic axis works. And so once you meet this person, in addition to the dreams and the telepathy and your psychic channels opening up and finding out that you know people that they've known their whole lives and you had no idea, like all of the signs and synchronicities, there will also be hard energetic evidence in my experience when it comes to those sort of alignments from before you knew each other, where it's like, holy shit, our whole lives, we were like truly on two ends of an axis, just kind of going
right
in different spaces. And the energy does operate on an axis. And the reason why is because that density that is caused by trauma, the energetic density that we carry after experiencing something traumatic, or even just conditioning into our culture, especially for people of our generation who are now waking up to the fact that it was conditioning and breaking through a lot of that, that creates density. That density creates polarity. So it physically, you end up moving away from each other. But you're still on this, it's not a string, it's an axis where you're experiencing opposite ends of it, but it's all one swirling thing. Also, it's just the feeling. You just will know, and you'll doubt, and you'll obsess, and you'll write a letter and burn it, and you'll do all of the things. You'll talk to a therapist, you'll talk to your mom, everyone will tell you you're crazy, people will tell you you're not crazy, but you just keep going and you keep going, and you just, that feeling of knowing will deepen despite the bouts of doubt that you experience. It will outlast every other sensation, and every other sensation will end up serving that, the deepening of that faith in what you know to be true about this person.
Okay, so whenever people talk about twin flames, it's like you meet them, you come together, it's this crazy connection, and then all of a sudden something like massive blows up and then you're in separation. What is the separation period and what can that look like?
I'm like truly giddy right now. I'm so excited to talk about this. So true twin flames, they're never in separation because of that energetic axis I was just talking about. Separation is an energy. It is not a circumstance. And circumstances can mirror it. But at the end of the day, separation is an energy. It's just indicating that there is density still held in your physical body from trauma because our body holds onto it. And a lot of the trauma that twin flames are, as they get closer and closer and closer together physically, are invited into exploring and releasing, are from past lives and are also ancestral. Both of those things combine to mean that it's in your DNA. So this journey, the reason why it's so deep and feels so intense is because your DNA is literally changing. And for me, that's true. I look different than I did before, not in a typical aging way. Like I kind of look younger than I used to in certain ways. And my body has changed shape. And of course, all of these things happen as we grow and mature in age, but your body physically changes. What you're able, the environments you're able to be in change. Yeah. So obviously, physical separation, when that energy is being reflected back to you by your physical reality, you're not near each other physically. this can be really disorienting, especially for divine feminines. It's disorienting for both, but for divine feminines, because you have that truth and you're getting the signs and the synchronicities and the dreams and all of the confirmations that this is, quote, real, but this person is far away from you and the circumstances seem impossible to come back together. Or the louder you call, the faster it runs. The more you try to grab at it and lock it down, the more they're like, bye. And that is, of course, because it's the divine feminine's role to receive. And it's the divine masculine's role to give. So if the divine feminine is saying, please give me this, please give me this, please give me this, please give me this, it feels very unnatural for a divine masculine to go, I would like to give you this.
Right.
You can't really receive something if you're badgering someone to give it to you. That's not, it's not, doesn't have that integrity. So separation happens for multiple reasons rooted in that density, rooted in where your healing journey is. I know a lot of divine feminines get fed up when I say that because they're like, I've been healing my whole goddamn life. And I'm
right.
Like, I feel you. I've been there with you. I died when I was born. I have been in the trauma as well, literally since 12 hours after I was born. I have had death housed in my body. So I feel, I understand, but there's always more because we are leaders. So we transmute on behalf of the collective, in addition to on behalf of just ourselves and everyone, regardless of who you are. When you heal yourself, you're healing the collective because we're all energy and we all affect each other so deeply. But that's especially true for divine feminines on the twin flame journey. So the separation period happens so that you can allow the divine to A, prove to you this is real. B, make you sit down and shut up and let somebody else be right and in charge. Because when you're really insightful and really intuitive and really intelligent, it's really hard to be like, somebody else is planning this and they're not going to tell me what's going on. That's not fair. And it's that guy. He's the guy that's supposed to execute the plan. That dodo bird over there that I'm witnessing that like won't text me back. Like it can be really frustrating. But at the end of the day, it's serving a deep purpose that I think we're probably going to talk about a little bit further on with some of the other questions. So I'm going to throw this back over to you.
Okay. So you kind of touched on this before, but I really want to hammer this home for people that are listening. Is it always meant for healing, a twin flame journey, or is it typically a destructive relationship?
You will always heal with a twin flame. And I am very grateful you asked this. And this is exactly what I wanted to say at the end of this.
Oh my God, I love it.
So this is the real. Okay. I'm going to be really, really honest about what I know based on my journey and the journey of the people I work with. This is very sensitive. I recognize that. But this is the truth. Divine masculines are here to transmute toxic masculinity. We're literally together rewriting codes of wounded femininity and wounded masculinity that inform toxic behaviors in feminines and masculines, and those inform each other. Every toxic man that is in charge of anything that we all are forced to listen to or comply with or be victim to was cut off from love from a very, very, very young age. So in my experience, there has been abusive behavior from men who are divine masculines on this journey. But here is the essential piece of understanding this. It is never toward the divine feminine. If they are in a state where they are going to be toxic and abusive emotionally, mentally, or physically, they physically are not allowed near you. And I don't mean like, you're not allowed near me because I have standards. I mean, they will be physically, circumstantially, the divine keeps them away from you. If there is a possibility that they would do anything that is actually abusive in any real way, that's not just triggering, they are kept away from you. And that does not excuse, just because they're on this journey and that they are here to transmute that, it does not excuse any of the behavior they have exhibited toward other people or other women. Part of their journey is accepting that and transmuting that in real time in this lifetime, sobering up and recognizing, holy shit, look what I've been doing. And then choosing to heal themselves, heal the roots of where that behavior comes from, which often is a mother wound, healing the roots and really changing their behavior, changing their mindset, changing their value, and also waking up every single day, looking themselves in the mirror, recognizing what they've done, choosing to believe they are worthy of being better.
Mm-hmm.
That's the divine masculine journey. So the twin flame space, if this is your twin flame, they will never physically or emotionally abuse you. They will trigger you. They will be frustrating.
Well, and triggering and toxic are two very different things that people need to hear. Triggering is like people doing things that are going to bring stuff up in you that you then need to look at and rectify and heal. Mm-hmm. That is very different than someone like having toxic behaviors in a relationship.
Yeah. And pretty much every single woman that I've worked with thus far, we've all been in relationships with narcissists. We've all been in relationships with people who laid hands on us, most of us. We know what that feels like. We know what that looks like. And people who I work with, because I'm pretty advanced in terms of the one-on-one work that we do together, you have to kind of know a lot of these things that I'm already talking about just through your own journey because of the nature of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the inner authority aspect of it being so pivotal, people are pretty developed when they find me and are meant to work with me. We've all gone to therapy for that relationship. We've all repaired the relationships in our lives that relationship disrupted and destroyed. Mm-hmm. We've all moved through, I was in this really toxic relationship and now I've healed on the other side of it. And we all recognize that this feels different.
Yeah.
The twin flame relationship feels very different.
Yeah.
And again, even that is an example of the counter energy where, okay, if one, the divine feminine was in an abusive relationship, that divine masculine was probably in a relationship where he was really toxic and borderline or full on abusive toward that other person at that mm-hmm. same time, because they were both in that energy.
Right.
So there's no way for us to heal toxic masculinity without embracing people who have been toxic masculines. There's no way for us to do it. We can't just kill off an entire group of people. It doesn't work. It will only produce more of the same. And these relationships challenge men who have been in that space to really embrace themselves fully and embrace that ugliness and heal it away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of it too. That's part of separation too, that a lot of divine feminists don't realize, is that the divine masculine knows a lot earlier most of the time. And they also are confronted with the reality of what they've done thus far in life. And so they keep themselves away from that person.
Mm-hmm.
They keep themselves away from their divine feminine because look at her and what if?
And when you say no, do you mean they are evolved enough and they're like, this is my twin, oh shit, something's going on here? Or do you mean no as in like, oh, I'm scared about what I'm feeling towards this person, so I'm going to remove myself. But if someone was like, oh, you're the divine masculine, they'd be like, you're fucking crazy. What does that even mean?
So it depends. Obviously, everyone's different on their journey and it depends on where they are. Starting out, it's holy shit, you make me feel all of my feelings and I don't fucking know how to feel feelings. So I have to go.
Yeah.
Bye. Like that's how it starts. And then through that period of perceived separation in the physical, they come into a deeper awareness. Even if they don't have the term twin flame, even if they don't have a word for it, they start recognizing. But in my experience, they're all woo woo. Even if it's secret or undercover, they at least know that, you know, even the term divine feminine outside of the twin flame space has become a lot more mainstream because we have been rising. There are so many other paths for the divine feminine to rise besides the one that I work within. So that's really been a collective evolution. And so as they get further on, they know. My divine masculine personally knew about this journey in the lingo before I did.
Interesting.
Hilarious.
Right. And now you're like a fucking expert on it. That's great.
Yeah, I'm like waving the flag on the internet. Like, please, I've got answers.
Oh my God, I love it. Okay, so I think a question that a lot of people are interested in is, do twin flames after separation always come back together?
Okay, this is a loaded question. And I'm grateful you asked it because I get asked this all the time. Usually, not anymore, but before on my journey, it usually like through tears. Like, is this ever going to happen? I'm like, it's okay. Hold on. And I have to have some real talk. I have to give a little tough loving sometimes. This is so much bigger than a relationship. This is collective. This is a collective network and web of energy. And every single person is a part of that network and web. But there's also a network, a grid, the twin flame grid, that is every single twin flame. We are all connected to one another. So what that means is that when I move a really big piece out of my energetic body, I transmute it. People on all sides of me in that grid feel it. Even if we don't know each other, if we've never met each other, don't know each other exist. So until there's a certain level of healing and also understanding of how things work within the collective of twin flames, various levels of physical union are held off because we have to go together. Because if, especially with like very different leaders within the twin flame collective, when I interact with my divine masculine and when we have, you know, positive physical interactions, that triggers that I notice in my collective, in the clients that I work with, and the people that find me on TikTok and are in the comments, it triggers them. I notice waves of triggering in response to what's happening with me. So yes, we're all coming together. That has to happen very strategically in divine timing, because this is a conversation about toxic masculinity and divine femininity and divine masculinity, which is political and it's economic and it's racial and it's everything. It is changing the fabric and the structure of how we interact with each other as a culture, as a society. And again, we're not the only healers here doing that. There are so many other pathways that people are awakening to this soul essence, and that there's a better way to do things than we've been doing them collectively in response to the shadow work, the triggering collectively we've experienced of the past decade or so. So when it comes to reunions and the physical reunion of it all, number one, I'm not supposed to tell anyone anything when it comes to stuff like that, just because this is a free fall in faith if you're on this journey. And even if I said like, yes, it's going to happen next Tuesday at 7 p.m., you wouldn't believe me if you didn't believe that. You know, if you didn't know that in your soul, you wouldn't believe me, or you'd believe me for 5 minutes and your ego would feel a little bit better. Like, okay, cool. And 7 p.m. next Tuesday. And then as you went on with your day, you'd start to feel the itch for another confirmation, because that is feeding a mistrust in your own inner authority. And your own inner authority is what the divine feminine especially is here to embody. So yes, and maybe, and no, and I don't know, because that's not my job to know.
Right, right. Got it. Okay. Love that. What type of work do you need to do on yourself in order to find your twin? Or is it just something that randomly happens?
So I want to make sure I'm mindful with my language here, because not everyone has one.
You can expand on that, because that was another question.
That doesn't mean like
you should be hunting for them.
I got a twin flame this lifetime and you didn't. Like, it doesn't mean anything. It's literally, I always get a little puzzled by how to answer that question accurately, because we're one soul. So like, technically, yeah, you are a twin flame, because you're in your own body with your whole soul. And it's
Get split.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not that like, oh, he's the other half of my soul. It's like, we're both all of it, which is why this is so intense, because we have I have one body and I'm feeling all of this because it's the whole soul. So, but when it comes to people who are on the journey, really, in my experience, you awaken to that person after you've done a good bit of your own healing work. I did 10 years of therapy on and off with, I've always been very spiritual since I was a child. My parents are spiritual leaders. My family is very spiritual. I went to psych therapy with a doctor who knew how my brain worked and could say, hey, there are chemicals in your brain and they're making your body feel weird. Like, I was very much in a space of 3D real world healing. And that allowed me to start repairing my relationship to the divine. That's usually the big thing, is repairing some of that base level trauma you've experienced from your childhood, and then starting to repair and reconnect with the divine. Because most, and I'm speaking to divine feminines here really, but most divine feminines experience childhood trauma, but are raised either in religious institutions or with very spiritual instincts. And part of the childhood trauma was that they were cut off from that, or that that was damaging to them in some way, shape, or form. So then they stopped having that relationship with the divine that is so pivotal and essential. And that, of course, that sent me, when I lived in New York for 7 years, into the heathen years. I was a total heathen, and I was beautiful. I was a star burning very bright, but I was cuckoo because I was just running from the pain of like the ultimate abandonment, feeling the ultimate abandonment, which is like, I felt so connected to the divine as a child, and now I don't anymore because like God hates me or whatever. So repairing your relationship to your inner child, working with that childhood trauma, and then working in reflection of that with your relationship with the divine. Those are the, and again, you can't really do that in order to find anything, but in just in looking at all of the journeys of people I've worked with and my own journey, those are the two major elements that usually have been at play right before that alignment happens where you meet each other.
Yeah, that makes sense. Can you have more than one twin flame?
Ooh, this is a great opportunity to say this. All of that I'm sharing here, I'm just one girl. I'm just one girl on the internet. It could be totally different for other people in other collectives of twin whatever. This is all just based on what I've witnessed, observed with my clients and myself. In my experience, you got one, and that's that. And just because of the nature of what we're here to heal this time. And that doesn't mean that in the past, if we look at ancient texts that explore the idea of twin souls, that those are illegitimate if they speak to different concepts that involve more than one person or a more temporal thing. In my experience here now, it's the two, because that's what we're working within, is the binary reality that we all operate with, toxic femininity, toxic masculinity. So
yeah,
it's gotta be the two. But again, you know, if there's some cool, like spiritual poly twin things happening out there that I don't know about, I bless that. I love that.
Oh my God, I love it. So if you can leave everyone with one kind of, like, if someone thinks they're on this journey and are struggling with it, and you could leave them with one piece of advice from the journey that you've been on with your twin, what would that be?
I'm guessing, and I know in my bones that the people listening to us are 99.99999% divine feminines, probably except for my divine masculine. Hi, honey.
And also, if they haven't checked out by now, then they're obviously spiritual if you've hung in with us this long.
Yeah, exactly. Grace and space are pillars of unconditional love. We are here to unconditionally love ourselves in response to this person, so we can unconditionally love them in response to ourselves, so that we can unconditionally love every single person we encounter. We are here to recognize that it's a very potent truth between you and your divine masculine, or you and your divine feminine, that you are one. The reason why you're given that so potently is so that with every person you meet and encounter, starting right now, not starting when you're in a physical relationship with them, starting right now, you can meet with the same level of grace and space and compassion and love that you feel biologically predisposed to give to this motherfucker who ghosted you. And that includes people that have harmed us, that have hurt us, who we see hurting other people. That includes people at the very top of power structures that are dehumanizing. We cannot break the cycle of dehumanization that is systemic at this point by dehumanizing the people who are dehumanizing. That's feeding that energy. That's building the momentum of that energy. So this is the big nugget. It's Indigenous wisdom from Anita Sanchez. Please read her book called The Four Sacred Gifts. This is one of them that we are here to embody, and it's the biggest one that I see the collective yearning for on a soul level. Try to work with the concept of forgiving the unforgivable in this person, in yourself, and again, in everyone and everything you meet. And not without boundaries and not without accountability, because love has both of those things. We cannot love unconditionally if we are throwing ourselves in front of the train. But forgiving the unforgivable is going to be, if you can surrender to that concept, and that it's going to be a continued theme that pops up. Your separations about your relationship with your absent father, or your separations about your relationship with that bully from third grade, that it's about the president you hate, it's about whatever. When you can really embrace forgiving the unforgivable, this journey becomes infinitely easier, infinitely more joyful, and it becomes a lot more affirming. It starts to affirm itself, and you don't need to find a girl on TikTok to tell you what to do.
Oh my God, that was such a beautiful like nugget. I hope everybody rewinds the last minute and re-listens to that. Meg, thank you so much. Can you tell everybody where they can find you online, where they can reach out if they want to work with you, all the things?
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm on TikTok and Instagram. My handle is meg.arcadia. So it's M-E-G, spelled like gem, but backwards. A-R-C-A-D-I-A, Meg Arcadia. And my website is arcadialightworking.com. It's kind of under construction, but that is the absolute only way to contact me. I have my DMs pretty much closed just because it's
smart
overwhelming.
Girl.
But I always see things that come in through the website, and that's all linked. Link in bio, as they say. So don't worry about remembering the address. And thank you so much for having me in this space. I really, really appreciate your openness and the trust, because there is a lot of misinformation out there. I really appreciate the trust it takes to open this space with me and allow me to just kind of spew out whatever's coming up.
I love it. And I'm glad to give people a further and more healthy understanding of what this relationship could look like, so they aren't replacing toxic behaviors with, oh, this could be this person. And I think that's very important.
Yeah, me too. That's really the biggest within the twin grid. Everyone that needs to work with me would find me regardless. The reason I'm on the internet and the reason that I have picked up more traction there is because of that exact thing, to really help people that, you know, we're meant to come into that conversation to recognize certain things about what, you know, it still can help them heal in reflection of that, but help them really move on from those tough situations. So thank you again.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much, Meg. I so appreciate it.
I want to thank Meg for coming on and giving us so much good info on these topics. And I'm really interested on this particular episode to get kind of feedback from you guys. I want to know if things resonated with you, if things that she said debunked kind of, you know, ideas that you were holding on to and like trying to cling to, like, he's going to come back. He's my twin flame. Because I can't tell you how many people read Eat Pray FML and DM me and think that Javier is my twin flame. And I fully believe, after all of the interviews I've done with people like Meg and the one we did about soul contracts with Geliana, that it was definitely a karmic relationship. And that is so vastly different than a twin flame situation. So I hope this episode gave you some good info as to not to like fall into traps and really make sure you know kind of what you're talking about and what you're putting on certain people and relationships in your lives. I love you guys. I will see you all next week. All right, FMLers, if you don't want to miss an episode, make sure to follow on your favorite podcast app. And if you're loving the show, drop us a 5-star rating and leave a review. You can keep up with me on Instagram at Gabrielle Stone or the podcast page at FML Talk Podcast. For all the merch and books signed personally by me, you can shop the FML line on eatprayfml.com. And as always, have a fucking self-love cocktail on me. Cheers.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.